Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every team we play is going to be excited for the opportunity to come in here and knock us off. We got a target on our backs. We got to be ready.
Draymond Lowe spins to the rim, goes up and dumps it down. Draymond with a two-hand slam.
Curry, deep three, right side, got it. Right on top of the hash mark.
As I said before, he's on planet Earth, he's in range.
Block away, Draymond with a reject. Here comes Curry, stops, shoots a three, got it.
And here we go.
It's time for the Warriors Wrap-Up. Here's your host, Matt Steinmetz.
In traffic, knocked away, blocked by Andre. Bleak out Livingston to Curry. Curry goes over the right hand, up a high off the glass, and good for Steph Curry, and he draws a foul.
All right, everybody, welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. I'm Matt Steinmetz, and your Golden State Warriors, they win again. This time north of the border in Toronto, they win 127-121. And another big game for their big stars. Stephen Curry with 35, Kevin Durant with 30, Klay Thompson a quote-unquote off night with just 15, and Draymond Green filling up all kinds of columns again, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 3 block shots. 888-957-9570 is the telephone number to talk about tonight's game. The text line also open, 95795. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter with a comment or even a complaint, that's fine too. At Steinmetz NBA. Couple things that stuck out to me about this ball game tonight. One is the Toronto Raptors are one of the best teams in the NBA. Depending on who you talk to, I think that they're probably one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the league. And the Golden State Warriors went into Toronto tonight and by and large, just handled them. They withstood the early emotion that the Raptors played with. They were just down 4 points after a quarter. Toronto was up 38-34. And after the Golden State Warriors withstood that emotion, then they began to take control of the game in the second quarter. Outscored Toronto 32-15, got up 13.5, bumped up the lead even more in the third quarter, and then withstood the inevitable run by the home team. They survived a big night of free throw shooting by the Toronto Raptors, who got to the line 41 times tonight, including 17 times by DeMar DeRozan. But the Golden State Warriors, again, end up prevailing 127-101. This game didn't come without a scare, though. It appeared as though Steph Curry tweaked his ankle midway through the fourth quarter, but he came back after a timeout, and it seemed apparent that it wasn't an ankle at all. It was more like a bump of the knee, and as the game wore on, he seemed to get stronger and stronger, and by the end of the game, there was absolutely no worry about it. But anytime you see Steph Curry limping around or limping to the bench, which is what he did, it's always a cause of a little bit of concern. The other thing that jumped out at me tonight was maybe one of the best things to happen to the Warriors was that Toronto came out of the gates and were burying three-point shots. They made 5 of their first 9 three-point shots, and I think kind of unwittingly, they found themselves in an up-and-down game with the Golden State Warriors. And because they were up 4 points after a quarter, I think they felt like they could play that style against Golden State. And you can't. You can't play that style against Golden State. And what ended up happening was the Warriors went on a 21-2 run midway through the second quarter, and that's when they took control of the ballgame. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go out and hear from the fans, and that's brought to you by Nations Giant Hamburgers. Keep it real. Make it Nations. Let's go to Mo in Dublin. Mo, you are on Warriors Wrap Up.
Mr. Steinmetz, thanks for taking my call. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you, my friend. I totally agree with you. I think the Toronto Raptors are going to be in the Final Four. I think they are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. But the way I gauge tonight's performance is more of a false positive. I think we got the win, right? I know we got the win.
Right.
I'm not concerned about the 127. I'm concerned about the 121. I'm concerned about the performance coming out on the opening part of this road trip, especially when Toronto is coming off a back-to-back with champs. They were definitely playing with emotion, like you said. I think they got the hot start because of that emotion, playing, you know, a very talented Warriors team. But we were up 20.
Yep.
We were up 20, and we could smell blood, and we just didn't go for the kill. And I think the lesson learned for me is that two things. One is you can't get lackadaisical in the second half based on your performance in the first.
Right.
You got to keep the pedal down to the metal. And then two is I know a lot of Warrior fans are getting enamored with JaVale McGee. I appreciate the, you know, the relative star power of someone as athletic as JaVale and the prospects of somebody like that curing our big man concerns. But one of the things you didn't mention in your opening monologue was four fouls in, I don't even know how many minutes.
Four.
Like 5 minutes.
Four fouls in 4 minutes and 22 seconds for JaVale.
You know, there is, and I think JaVale's a great, you know, team chemistry type guy in the right way for this team, but I just don't see him being a part of the rotation until he, maybe not against a Toronto, maybe right. not against a Valanciunas, maybe against another type of team. But those are two of my takeaways, Steiny. I don't know what your thoughts are, but, you know, a win's a win. I just wish that the Warriors, and I hope the Warriors look at the tape and say, man, this should have been a 40-point win coming off a team on a back-to-back. Thanks a lot, Steiny. Have a great night.
All right, no problem, Mo, and thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, look, JaVale McGee is a player who's quietly been in the league 8 or 9 years right now, and his reputation is that of being inconsistent. And the Warriors went out and got him, and they're taking a chance on him. And that's the luxury that the Golden State Warriors have. They don't have to rely on him. They don't have to have him contributing on a consistent basis. If they needed him to contribute on a – if they needed that position, I should say, to contribute on a consistent basis, I don't think they would have gone out and gotten JaVale McGee. I think Steve Kerr knows exactly what he's doing. I think they're going to give JaVale McGee a couple months to start the season, one, two, maybe into January. And they're going to see if he can give them something when the games start getting more meaningful. But I think a hallmark of JaVale McGee's career has been one night he's looked spectacular. Another night he looks very, very ordinary. It's too bad because it's obvious after you watch tonight's ball game. And I know it's the Toronto Raptors, and they've got two guards that like to get to the basket. But not just the Raptors. Opponents, all opponents, are trying to get to the basket against the Golden State Warriors. They are trying to take the ball to the rim and force the action. And it just so happens on a night like tonight, you have two guards that go to the basket aggressively. By the way, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they're supposed to be one of the better backcourts in the NBA, and they are. They are. They can score. But here's my question. Do either of those guys make their teammates better? Does DeMar DeRozan make that front court better? Does Kyle Lowry make his teammates better? And I realize it was just one game tonight, but I don't see those two guys really being the kind of players that make Jonas Valanciunas a better player or Damari Carroll a better player. They can go out and they can get theirs, and they did tonight in a big way. And they're very aggressive, and they can create on their own. But I just wonder if they're the type of guards that can be the type of guards to distribute the ball a little bit better than they did tonight. Kyle Lowry was 6 for 17, and I'll tell you what we found out tonight, although we probably knew it, is that Steph Curry averages more points against the Toronto Raptors than against any team. Well, I got news for you. Part of that is because Kyle Lowry is his opposite number, or has been his opposite number for the past couple years. And Kyle Lowry is wanting on the defensive end. It's just the way it is. And I just think the Golden State Warriors, the more you watch the Golden State Warriors, the more you realize, wow, they are just so much better than so many other teams, including the Toronto Raptors. And the Toronto Raptors are a team that many people feel will be able to compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers when it gets down to crunch time in the playoffs. I have my doubts. Also, I'm wondering why Jonas Valanciunas only played 18 minutes tonight. If you are going to go small just because the Golden State Warriors go small, in essence, what you're saying to your bigs is, I can't trust you in this game. I don't think you're good enough. And I think there are a lot of big men that struggle to play against the Warriors' small lineup. I'd like to have seen Valanciunas get a little bit more of a run. All right, when we come back, we're going to go out and take some more of your phone calls. The Golden State Warriors beat the Toronto Raptors 127-121. You're listening to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Warriors Wrap-Up. Here's Matt Steinmetz.
Curry in the backcourt, McCollum has thrown it to Durant. Durant spins down the left side, fights his way to the front court, pulls up for three, and got it! At the buzzer! KD with a long look back down toward Drake and the Raptors bench. Buries the three at the end of one, and it's a four-point game. Warriors down by four.
That sound courtesy of Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors. Welcome back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors 127, Toronto 121, or as they say, Toronto in Toronto. Warriors now 9-2. The Raptors 7-4. Tonight's Keys to Victory brought to you by American Express, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant. Jeez, I look at the box score after the game and had no idea he put up these kind of numbers. He is the definition of a guy who can get it done quietly. 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 11 for 21 from the floor. I didn't know he got 30 tonight. Key number two, I'm going to go with Andre Iguodala. A plus 15 in 25 minutes, 10 points and 6 assists. He was a solid contributor off the bench. And then my third key, the bench in total. The bench in total shot 12 for 16 from the floor, and a nice contribution by Patrick McCaw, the rookie, who is quietly gaining more and more confidence. Don't forget, JBL headphones and speakers are the official sound of Steph Curry and Golden State Warrior basketball on 95.7 The Game. This from the text line. Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are the second-best backcourt in the NBA. They have one of the deepest teams in the league. They have broken franchise records in wins the last 4 years in a row. They have to make their teammates better in some way. Otherwise, they wouldn't be winning all those games. Just saying. Maybe I was a little too hard on him. Maybe I was a little too hard on him. See, I can be open-minded. I do disagree with that this is one of the deepest teams in the league. I don't like that bench. No Guerra, Corey Joseph, Patrick Patterson. I'm not crazy about that bench, but you're probably right. I was a little too harsh on him. I'd take a backcourt of Westbrook and whoever he's playing with, Oladipo. I think I'd take Harden right now and Eric Gordon, even though I'm not a big Eric Gordon fan. I know, I'm being too hard on him. You're right, from the text line. I'll give you that. They're not bad. It's just I don't know. They seem to do a lot for themselves, and I guess I'd like to see him do a little more for others. But hey, I'm going to acknowledge that maybe I was a little too hard on him. Let's go out to Anthony in South City. Anthony, you're on the Warriors wrap-up show.
Thanks for taking the call, Matt.
Man, sure.
What an ugly second half, huh?
What's up?
What an ugly second half.
Yeah, too many fouls. You know what's funny is there was a lot of complaining about the officiating, but Steve Kerr afterwards was just talking about he didn't really maybe this is his way of complaining about the officials. He just said we were fouling too much, but yeah, the game did bog down, no doubt about it.
Oh yeah, I mean it felt like every time. I thought I was watching James Harden out there with DeRozan. Every time he drove the lane, I mean, we hear the whistle blow.
Yeah. DeRozan and Lowry they do force the issue. They're not afraid to drive into traffic, and they'll put the onus on the officials. No doubt about it.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, it wasn't the best night for a 6-point spread. I'll leave it at that. But you stole my 2 points. The two biggest takeaways I had. First off, I thought this was his best game of the year. He just looked like a little more hop to his step. Looked like he was a little bit more energetic. I think this was the first game he had two dunks in. I mean, I think he looked a little bit better. Just kind of watched him. I think I saw a golf tan when he took his warm up shirt off a couple weeks ago. So that could have been that. But, last but not least, Pat McCall. That guy's a player, man.
He is.
Yeah. It just seems like he's in the right spot all the time. He makes the right pass, makes the right read. Very impressive. And I think, whoever, whether that was Myers or whoever chose him in the second round, God bless him.
Yeah. And thanks a lot for the call, Anthony. Appreciate it. I'll just tack this on as it relates to Patrick McCaw. He's when a rookie can come into the game. And I should say, come into the league and make and find a way to contribute. When they don't score, that's really a good sign. That is really a good sign. Patrick McCaw can help you when he doesn't score. And for a rookie, that ain't bad. All right, let's go out to Manuel in Dublin. Manuel, you are on Warriors Wrap Up.
Hey, I can't get enough basketball, man. I listened to you this afternoon also, man. Hey,
cool.
I know it's way, way, way early, but I'm kind of looking at when Coach kind of does his, he puts, I think he sits Curry at the beginning of the third, and then Durant beginning of the fourth, then Durant comes out about the 7-minute mark. And I know it's way early, and they've got a long season, but I think that's when you can really finish those games a little stronger. I know it's still, he's still kind of mismatching a little bit, trying to get his guys in there, but I don't know. I'm like, doggone it. I want to see them just smoke everybody, man. I want to see them really, because KD kind of gets away a little bit, then Curry goes in. So,
right.
What's your thoughts on that? And also, one other thing, trade bait. No one brought our big five, Day Day, KD, the maybe
sure.
Thompson. But any way to get Kosta Kufus, I think that's a name over in SAC, or maybe in Cauley Stein, which I think that'd be hard to get. Would there be anybody on the squad that you would give up to try to get those guys just for a rim protector in the playoffs? Because you're going to need somebody. You're going to see Isaiah tomorrow, Friday night. I'm curious to see how he likes to go to the hole.
Right. I think, and thanks for the call, Manuel. I appreciate it. And as it relates to your first topic about Durant, I kind of hear you there. I thought it was pretty surprising. The one thing I took note of tonight was that Durant came back into the game with 4.5 minutes left, and the Warriors were up 17 at that point. That, to me, seemed a little bit strange. As far as the rim protector, I think that's going to be a theme all season. I really do. I think it's never going to be what we want it to be, and there's always going to be some talk about whether there's somebody out there the Warriors can get. And I'm not saying the Golden State Warriors won't possibly go try to get a big man to help them and to supplement their front court. I just don't see it happening before January or February. They've got to let this team play together for 20, 30, probably more games, see what they have, and then go ahead and see if they need to supplement it at all. But I think you're right. I think we're going to be talking about rim protection most of the year, if not the first half of the year. But I don't anticipate anything happening before we get close to February and the trading deadline. All right, when we come back, we'll take more of your calls on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors Wrap-Up continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Steinmetz.
Back over to Lowry. Pump fake, dribble drive. Lowry to the rack, goes up. Rejected by Draymond. Knocked away. And Livingston on the break from Iguodala. Backward pass to Durant. It's a three, and it's good for Kevin Durant.
Welcome back to Warriors Wrap Up. The Warriors win again tonight. They beat the Toronto Raptors 127-121 in Toronto. That raises Golden State's record to 9-2 on the season. Steph Curry with 35, Kevin Durant with 30, and it was another offensive explosion by the Golden State Warriors. Let's head back out to the phones and let's hear from Josh in Oakland. Josh, you're on Warriors Wrap Up.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a pretty good win against a very good opponent. I would have liked to see the Warriors hold Toronto under 110 points, but they are a good team. It was reassuring seeing the team stay in the game early, not necessarily because of the three ball, but they were taking care of the ball. I like seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in the second half, the Warriors, and they continue to play first half basketball. When you got a 19-point lead, quick jumpers, not using the shot clock. And I know we all love Steve Kerr, and I love him too. He's, I think, probably the second best coach in the NBA. But you got to remember, this is his third year. He's still learning, and he's still adapting and getting better and figuring stuff out too, especially with a new team. So our coach will improve, and that'll get better. I want to run this by you, though, Matt. I'm not one to clamor for a lot of fouls for the Warriors because of the finesse game that they play. But I have done a little research, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson over the last couple of years have shot and more threes than anybody. Steph made 400 over 400 last year, 300 the year before that. Klay 300 or two, close to 300 2 years ago, 300 last year. And I did a little research, and I noticed that neither of those guys are in the top 10 in four-point play attempts or four-point play makes. And it's very interesting to me. I wanted to pick your brain on that. Do you think that the Splash Brothers are being kind of being judged like Shaquille O'Neal in the post? He was so dominant that if a guy just hung up on him and tore him up down in the post, the ref would kind of let it go. Do you think that refs are kind of letting things off? Because I listened to a lot of the game. I wasn't able to watch, but I know that these guys get fouled at least one time a game. When you're able to shoot the ball at the efficiency that they're able to, it's all, the coach almost will tell you kind of foul them, kind of be a little bit more physical. So do you think there's any cadence there, or am I just reaching a little bit? Because these guys shoot an abundance of three-point shots. I mean, a whole lot. And for them to not even crack, each not crack the top 10 in four-point plays, it's just interesting. And plus, and also, do you think that with the league going tailoring more and more to the three-point, to the jumpers, and, you know, the way the game is going, do you think that's something that's going to raise questions or maybe be more of an emphasis for referees? Thanks for taking my call.
Well, Josh, anybody who knows me knows that I always push back on any talk about the officials. But since you brought it up, I do think one of the arguments that I always use when people say Curry doesn't go to the line as much as other guards like James Harden or Westbrook, I always say, well, he doesn't go to the basket like Harden or Westbrook. He doesn't attack the rim like Harden or Westbrook. So if I'm going to use that logic, yeah, then I guess you do have a point. If Steph Curry's going to take 11 or 12 three-point shots a game, maybe he does get fouled more than anybody else when he's shooting beyond the arc, and ditto for Klay. As a rule, I can't stand when guys get fouled on the three-point shot, whether it's Curry or Harden or anybody. I think that's a little bit of a bailout. But the one thing that maybe is the reason why Curry doesn't get a lot of four-point plays, it might just come down to strength. You know, when Steph Curry's going to get fouled and he's shooting from 30 feet out, it's a lot to ask for him to drop that shot and then go to the foul line. I'll keep an eye on it. You found something there with four-point plays. I mean, four-point plays don't happen a lot. When I think four-point play, I always do think of Jamal Crawford, and he's got a knack for that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, I think I do. It does feel like Curry gets as many calls on the 3-point shot as other 3-point shooters. I mean, I have to do some research on it, but I don't. And we talked about that last game, that it felt like he was fishing a little more for the foul on the 3-point shot. So I'll tell you what, Josh, I'll keep an eye on it, and we can talk about it as the season goes on a little more. Let's go out to Roe in San Francisco. Roe, you're on Warriors Wrap Up.
Hey, how you doing, Steiny?
Doing well.
Yeah, I just wanted to answer your question about DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, and do they make each other better? I think they're the definition of how you make each other better.
Make teammates better. Make other people, not each other so much as like their front court, is what I was saying.
More their front court? Well, I mean, I think that term is overstated. How can you really make your front court has to be predicated really on defense and rebounding. So for them to make those guys better, I don't know how they can do that, but I know for each other, I think they're one of the dynamic duos in the league. I mean, besides Steph and Clay, they're right behind them for dynamic duo. Because individually, I don't think they're all that great. They probably wouldn't be doing this well if they were someplace else.
No, I know. I think
Lowry's a journeyman.
I think Steph Curry makes Draymond Green better.
Yeah, but Draymond brings so many intangibles.
He does.
Shiny.
But I'm talking about Draymond at the offensive end.
They're like, polar opposites as far as personality. Draymond is fiery. Steph is too calm. So, I mean, they're yin and yang. They make each other – I think they make each other better, yeah, in terms of, just physical chemistry, I mean, on court. But, I mean, as far as personality and stuff like that, I think they bring something a little bit different to the table. But as far as DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, I think, yeah, they're the definition of making each other better. That backcourt – what they got there, I don't think they would be doing that, anywhere else if they played with other people.
All right. What do you think? All right. I hear you. I hear you. And thanks for the call, Ro. Appreciate it. I got a couple more I want to get in here. I hear you. I don't know. I don't know what it is about those two guys, and I know they're both all-stars. You know what? I think part of it is, man, you just watch Curry and Clay play night in and night out, and I guess maybe it makes every other guard tandem look ordinary. I guess I'm being a little too tough on those guys. I don't know. I don't know. It's just something about those two guys that I'm just not gung-ho about. I don't know. It's just one of those personal things, I guess. Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Yeah, I think Lowry and DeRozan, they are the Steph and Clay of the
league,
at least.
Come on.
I mean, at least. I'm not saying they're as good as Steph and Clay, but I'm saying of the East. Like, can you name another backcourt?
Well, I can't. Well, DeRozan doesn't shoot threes, so, I mean, that makes him much different. I mean, to me, what defines Curry and Clay is their ability from the three-point line. It sets up their whole game. DeRozan doesn't shoot threes. But, all right, okay, I guess so this
From an all-star standpoint.
No, hey, they're both all-stars. I hear you, but I'll tell you what. I'm taking James Harden and Patrick Beverley over those two guys. I'm taking Westbrook and Oladipo just because I'd rather have Westbrook and Harden than either one of those guys. That's just me. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not picking a fight with anybody. I'm probably underestimating them. You're right. Yeah, Kyrie Irving. Give me Kyrie Irving and J.R. Smith, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I mean, J.R. Smith, he'll make 10 in a row. He'll also miss 10 in a row.
You're right.
He can't create his own shot. That's a good one, too. But, but as far as the Warriors go, everybody's like, oh, they need a rim protector and this and that. And they probably do. I mean, like I said, I was one of the few people that called in, last week say, hey, I like JaVale McGee, I mean, he can bring you something. I mean, he brings you something that Bowie couldn't do or anybody else can do, the alley-oop-wise. He's 7 feet with length, He brings that to the table. What I'm saying? And, we might have to get somebody later in the season. But right now, we're winning games. It's not a problem because we're not losing. And until we lose, which I doubt we'll do a lot this year, it's not the biggest problem,
So, no, hey, you know what? And you're right. You're right about that, Antonio. Thanks for the call. One of the problems the Warriors may have is that they're going to get – I shouldn't say get away, but – we really won't know if quote-unquote rim protection is going to hurt them until it's too late, if you know what I mean. I mean, they're probably gonna, if this rim protection, let's say, never gets any better, they're still going to win 65, 66, maybe more games. And it's probably not going to really present itself until you're playing a team in a seven-game series. That's something where you do hope that Bob Myers can kind of look inside the game and say, you know what, I see we're beating teams right now, but this is still going to be a problem down the stretch. Let's go to Chuck in South San Francisco. What's going on, Chuck?
What's up, Matt?
How are you?
I got a question.
Yeah.
All right. When I look at Pat McCaw, I think I'm watching like a future superstar, but I also know that he could pan out to just be a guy. But it's just like watching one of those superstars that you see when they're young. And I think like over time, this kid will be like, I feel like he'll be like defensive, and he'll be Klay Thompson minus the three.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing here, I don't know. A lot of people might be on different sides, but I kind of like Zaza. I feel like they might trade him, but I kind of like him for some weird reason. I think he can give you something. And also, maybe later on down the road, would Kevin Durant move to the five and just play the five for a couple of minutes?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
And one more thing.
He'll play some five in the postseason for sure.
Yeah. One more thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're a gambling guy, but I don't even gamble myself. I heard the spread was six, and they were like a 7-point game, and then just hella fouls. Like, what is up with that?
Yeah, it's weird. I can't say I've never placed a bet, but I do know it's a dangerous game to play when you're betting on the NBA and you're betting on a team and you're watching the second string guys bring the game home or not. All right, we're going to come back. We'll take some more of your calls. We'll hear from Steve Kerr. You're listening to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Warriors Wrap-Up. Here's Matt Steinmetz.
He's... obviously a staple here at Air Canada Center, and he was talking a lot of trash, so as he should, and he liked to have those kind of fun moments and keep it moving.
Rosa on the wheel, trapped momentarily, now gets a screen, they trap him again, and West with a steal, leads Iguodala on the break, Andre all the way to the rack, and he slams it down. Andre Iguodala with a two-hand slam.
Welcome back to Warriors Wrap-Up. Golden State 127, Toronto 121. The Warriors now 9-2. Let's head down to the floor, brought to you by Walnut Creek Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, where saving is simple, online at walnutcreekjeep.com. Let's hear from Andre Iguodala.
Andre, you guys were able to really pull up the intensity at the end of the first half. And the second half, I know it's important to keep it going. How do you think you did?
This is my first time being interviewed.
Are you upset that we didn't interview you yet to this point?
No, I just figured out, like, you got to make shots to get interviewed, so I'm going to work on it at night so I can be interviewed more often, I guess.
You earned this moment. Are you proud?
No, we weren't ugly, but we had good moments. Something we've been talking about all year as far as the chemistry, how are we going to build. We want to have really good stretches, and then we're going to have other stretches where we want to have to learn from and, you know, end of the game. Fouling, offensive rebounds are two things that we're really struggling with that we got to get better at.
What's the next step to eliminating those stretches where you're not what you can be?
Having good intentions. I think we get a little thirsty at times and try to force the issue. We got so much talent, you know, we don't have to. The ball's going to find the right people's hands. The guys are going to get their shots, and just trusting that, trusting the process, I guess, is the quote for good and bad teams. And it's a quote for our good team, too, just trusting what's going to happen. And if we have good intentions, we got too much talent, and we will succeed.
Has your role and rhythm changed from last year?
No, it's different for everybody, not just me. And we're all trying to adjust. But like I said, when we have good intentions. You know, guys are going to have good nights. One night may not be your night. The next night might be your night. And then for a few guys, every night's their night. So we understand that. That's why we have veterans like myself and Shaw Livingston and David West. And we got some young guys we're bringing up, too. Pat McCall, he's going to be really good. He's going to take my spot. I'll be out of a job. But looking forward to life after basketball.
All right, and are you going to stop giving your sideline reporters sarcastic interviews and a hard time?
I really look forward to life after basketball. I got a tech thing going on. Had a really good interview with LinkedIn. We did a chat with them. I got some really good things going on as well. I can't talk about, but life is good.
It's great to have you on our air. Thank you, Andre.
I got a new book, too, so I'm reading that. That's awesome.
Plug the book.
No, because I don't get nothing from that. Okay. You got to know your...
Drake's boost cost them the game tonight.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't get involved with fame. I'm just a low-key guy.
Are you hanging out with Drake tonight? Is that what he's saying?
No, not me. I'm not famous. I'm going to read my book.
All right. Thanks, Andre.
That sound courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. Andre Iguodala, thinking about life after basketball. Let's go out to Mike in San Francisco. Mike, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, honey.
What's up, Matt? Mike? How you doing, man?
I totally agree, bro. Lowry's, I don't know, man. He's good, but I don't know, man. It's something about Lowry. DeMar DeRozan is solid. I like his game. But Lowry, I don't know. And then the Warriors, man, it's going to be a great season. If we don't get any injuries, we should win. Even if Zaza and JaVale McGee are the city by commander, by committee, with Damian Jones or Damon Jones, we should win the shit, barring an injury. But I agree, Matt. Lowry is something about him, man. I don't like him. I don't like him either. I like DeMar. But Lowry could go.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I got a partner in Mike. I appreciate that. Although we're kind of out on a limb, Mike. I mean, he was a all-star last year. This is from Fred in Pleasant Hill. How about McCaw as a poor man's Sprewell, primarily the way they defend? Yeah, I could see that. I'll tell you what, Sprewell, of course, you're right. He came into the league primarily as a defensive player. The thing that McCaw does, I think even better than Sprewell, he helps out. He's kind of all over the court. He's big, but he's kind of a water bug, too. You know, I'm thinking of the play specifically where he poked the ball free from Lowry when Lowry had his back turned and he was penetrating. McCaw's kind of all over the place. I remember Sprewell more as a pretty solid man-to-man defender as when he came into the league, but definitely not a bad comparison there. Let's go to Nick in Belmont. Nick, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, Steiny. I think that someone talking about Sprewell might have been trying to pick my brain a little bit, because – I have two things. One is when you're as far as Lowry and DeRozan, I get what you're saying. I think I'm on your end on that one. And I think what might be the problem is that I think they are a less talented version, at least offensively, of the Hardaway Sprewell combo in a way, where you have kind of not necessarily a very tall point guard, but relatively stocky, has a kind of a streaky three-point shot and can get to the hole. I don't think he's as good as Hardaway was, but Lowry's game is kind of like that. And also with DeRozan, he's kind of a slasher type. And there's Spree for three, yeah, but that wasn't that consistent
either.
Yeah,
it's not bad. That's not bad. You're right. Timmy Hardaway was a killer. Lowry doesn't seem to have that, but Timmy was a killer.
Right. Yeah. And then as far as McCaw, I see him as kind of a shooting guard version of Kawhi Leonard in a lot of ways.
Interesting.
You know, Kawhi obviously is longer and is a pretty true three, but McCaw, I think, is pretty true two size. That was kind of a bigger two, kind of a pretty true off guard size, but has a lot of the same skill sets as I think someone like a Kawhi.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not bad. All right, Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lee in Santa Clara. Lee, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, Steiny, how's it going tonight?
What's up, man?
You know, in the second quarter and at other moments in the game, I'm just watching this team, and they'll take your breath away. I mean, the amount of talent is just incredible. But then you look up at the scoreboard, they give up 120-plus points. So I think my marker for this team, to just really simplify it, is going to be, did they allow 100 points or not? So what do you think?
Well, they're going to allow 100 points a lot. I mean, if they're scoring 125 a game, they're going to, you know, to me, they're a little like the Showtime Lakers. you know, they're not. It's impossible to win games 125-90 every game, and especially when you're up 15 or 20, there's gonna be lulls. I don't see a huge problem yet. I mean, I know defensively they have to improve, but boy, do they have some firepower. And you know what? They're still, I know they're giving up points, but I think they're going to get better defensively because Draymond's a great defender, Klay's an above-average defender, and I think Durant can be an above-average defender. So I think they're just going to get better defensively, but they're never going to be a lockdown type of team.
Yeah, and they kind of verged on that lockdown type of team, you know, two seasons ago. But I agree with what you said. If they're scoring 130 a game, you know, it's very tough to keep the opponent under 100 just because of the pace, you know, and how fast they're running up and down the court. But the problem is going to be on those nights when the Warriors are only scoring 95. You know, then can they hold the opponent to, 88 points, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's asking a lot. I mean, because the Warriors are up above the league leaders in possessions. So if they're up ahead, if they're up high in possessions, chances are they're gonna give up some points. But it's a point well taken, and and thanks for the call, Lee. Appreciate it. And that's something we can obviously keep an eye on all season long. All season long. Whether their defense starts to get better. All right, let's head back to Toronto and hear from Steve Kerr and the coach's interview, and it'll be brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play at Oaks.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had periods this year, quarters, where we've played well. We haven't really put together a full game often. We probably did in Denver, but we need to do it more often. I thought we played... We played very poorly in the second half. We did not play intelligently at all. We kept fouling. They only stayed in the game because they went to the line about 50 times in the second half, and that's something we've got to clean up. I don't think our guys really are thinking in those terms. They're just thinking about Boston, and Boston is they beat us in Oakland last, I guess it was March, maybe it was April, but they played us tough twice last year. They gave us a lot of trouble, and it's a great place to play. A lot of history, a lot of tradition. So it's always fun. It's our one time a year to go there. So we're excited.
All right, that was Steve Kerr talking about tonight's 127-121 victory over the Toronto Raptors. And Steve Kerr always sounds better when he's wearing JBL headphones, or when you're wearing JBL headphones, or listening to JBL speakers, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. All right, that is going to do it for Warriors wrap-up. Next up, Friday, the Golden State Warriors play the Boston Celtics. That's a 5 p.m. tip-off. Damon Bruce will have the Warriors warm up at 3:30. Tim Roy will have pregame at 4:30 and tip off at 5 o'clock. I'll be here after for the Warriors wrap-up. I'd like to thank David Feldhaus, Ben Smalls, and even Stephen Langford, although he appears to have taken off tonight. So thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and we'll talk on Friday.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.